Hi, this is Dr. Bethany Tennant, naturopathic physician, certified nutrition specialist, with this new podcast launch called Healthy as a Habit. Welcome. So I'm very excited to have my next guest, Jaren Mastrud, with Apex Performance Wellness and Rehab. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and so I'm doing things a little bit differently in that I'm actually at his facility here in Portland, Oregon. And I've had a chance to tour it a little bit before, but this is a unique interview in that way. So thanks for having me in your space.
Oh yeah, thanks for coming on out.
So why don't you start with telling everyone a little bit about your journey, starting with maybe even your time as an athlete. Let's start with that.
Okay, yeah, I'm originally from Beaverton, Oregon, where I went to high school. And then went to Kansas State University to play football on a full athletic scholarship. I graduated in 3.5 years.
Didn't know that.
I was 2009 All Big 12 tight end, 2008 and 2009 academic All-American, which I'm equally proud of, along with
yeah.
the athletic accomplishments.
Absolutely.
From Kansas State, I went on to the NFL and played 3 years for the Dolphins and 1 year for the Raiders. Going into my fifth season with the Bears, I started my company, Pacific Neurotherapy, which is now Apex Performance Wellness and Rehab. Started that and then went out to the camp. Got released and then decided, you know, hey, things, rather than wait around for another phone call or another opportunity in the NFL, I figured to just start my life doing something that I loved and help grow the business and get it to where it is today.
That's awesome. So were you striving for, was the NFL your focus throughout your time, even as, you know, when you were, was that the dream when you were training and on JV and all that?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I actually grew up wanting to be in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to play for the Blazers and be the next great Portland Trail Blazer. The NBA was my biggest focus. I liked football. I liked playing the game in the sense of the word game. It was just a fun thing to go out and do. But basketball was my first love, I guess, in terms of a sport.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Still my favorite sport. I just ended up having a better opportunity to play football for my body type and athletic type and, you know, what is asked out of a tight end as opposed to what's asked out of a power forward or center. I stopped growing at 6'6", which sounds nice and tall, but most guys playing my position in basketball are 6'9 to 7 foot.
Sure.
So I was a little undersized and I was a little slow to play on the wing, but I was a perfect size for tight end. So I always thought about playing in the NBA, and that's what I really wanted to do. And then I'd say around my sophomore year was my first time playing varsity, both football and basketball in high school. And it was the first time I kind of understood that I had a potential to be a more dominant football player than basketball player. And I think that's when things kind of switched. And then my junior year was really the big turning point for football surpassing basketball in terms of where my focus would lie. But I definitely spent more time trying to be a basketball player. I'd say 75% of my time was basketball tournaments, AAU basketball, camps, workouts, football. I just kind of showed up and did what I could and, you know, competed at and tried to just, you know, get better. But I've started doing more time with that after my junior season.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And so what inspired birthing that business then? So while you were playing professionally, how did that come about?
Yeah, obviously all athletes know that injuries are kind of part of the game. And I had a knee surgery at the end of my sophomore school year that kind of was a big eye-opener to me that, hey, this could go away in one moment, you know, with a catastrophic injury. So having my eyes opened up as a 16-year-old was big that, you know, hey, injuries are real and you have to be trying to do all you can to prevent them. I had the same knee injury to the other knee in college, had a stress fracture in college as well, that both were going before my senior year and after my senior year that didn't project me well going into the NFL. I kind of looked like a little injury liability.
Yeah, totally.
Had another surgery after my rookie season as well. So, you know, I'd had 4 surgeries, all of those experiences, one building on the other. And thankfully I was able to make it from one step to the next and continue my career and enjoy life as a professional athlete and achieve my dreams in that regard. But at the same time, I know there's thousands of others out there that had their careers cut short by injury. And so I wanted to have a solution to help people remedy their injuries and be understood as an athlete and what your goals are. So I know there's a lot of great people out there that help with injuries, but I know there's few that have gone through the level of athletics that I've been through and the people that I wanted to surround myself with and kind of work with people with a higher demand for return to sport and feeling pain-free and whatnot. So my first focus was helping athletes, and then we expanded into the active adult market and then added on other services from there that could better assist in rehab or just bulletproofing your body, whether it's a DEXA scan, an RMR test, or just a, you know, a knowledge on how to warm up, how to do a simple band routine to activate your glutes. Now adding all those kind of helps full spectrum with the original goal of overcoming injury when that occurs.
That's great. I think that's a, those are tough lessons to learn, but certainly being able to empathize with your clients and patients that you're working with is huge.
For sure.
What kind of mental toughness do you think that took? I mean, that's four surgeries and then to continue the rehabilitation process and all that that entailed. What was part of your, what helped you get through all that?
I mean, the first one was the hardest one because that was the first time the doctor told me on the phone what the results of the MRI were, and I'd never heard of a meniscus before that point.
Sure.
I just knew I had a lot of family members that had had surgery on it. So good knees don't run in my family. But the doctor telling me that, hey, you know, basketball might not be a sport you play ever again, he, just hearing that sentence over the phone was devastating to me. So having gone through that firsthand set me up to be able to relate to kids hearing their first injury firsthand, whether it's face-to-face with the doctor, over the phone like I had, whatever that situation is, it can feel much worse than it is because it's your life as you know it, and it's your dreams as you know it up until that point. So being able to relate that experience, as well as the other ones that I had later on, to my prospective patients that we have here, I find beneficial, and they find beneficial as well, that, hey, someone else went through this and they ended up okay. Things will be okay for me. So tying that in is really key.
Yeah, definitely. So you switch gears and then you pursued sort of this business and entrepreneurship. Can you tell us about that journey and where you're at today?
Yeah, I mean, my degree was business administration with an emphasis in management.
Smart.
So starting my own business was always something I wanted to do.
Really?
I mean, even when I was a little kid, I would love to cook dinner for my, or dinner or lunch or breakfast. Usually breakfast because it's easier to cook for my parents, but I would create a little menu and have options that they could choose from and say, you know, welcome to the restaurant. And I'd have my little brother and sister helping me out as kind of like a sous chef and a, you know, a waitress and all that. So I always liked, you know, organizing things and setting up a little business and working with people. So I always knew I kind of wanted to do something, especially in the health and fitness realm. My dad was a football coach, strength and conditioning coach, and a health teacher. My mom was an elementary school teacher, so I just always loved interacting with people, especially younger people, to help them out and give them guidance earlier on and not make mistakes that I'd made or seen others make. So I knew health and wellness kind of where I wanted to start, and I felt like injury recovery was a great place to kind of work my way in and provide something different in the field that you don't typically get.
Yeah.
And then add on from there.
Do you want to explain what you were offering, what service you were offering at that time? Or is it something you're still currently offering?
We used to just kind of do one-to-one interaction in a small 10-by-10-foot office. Mm-hmm. And now we are in a much larger facility and have turf and weights and, you know, Olympic lifting bars, dumbbells, you know, functional space, bands, BOSU balls, physio balls, med balls.
Works.
We have everything now. So before I just felt limited in the scope that we could really work with people hands-on. And I started finding out and, you know, not realizing that your everyday person doesn't have the background I had in fitness, health, and wellness. And that although I could give you a lot of great exercises and give you a great one-hour session, what you do for the other 23 hours of the day was proving to be a bigger issue in people's recovery. So having a facility where we can provide a more well-rounded and full-spectrum approach has helped patient outcomes, allowed us to give better service, because I felt limited when I would tell a high school kid, hey, you know, great work today. Now hit the court or the field or the track and, you know, test things out and let me know how it goes. Well, they could tell you anything. And, you know, yeah. I don't know exactly how the rehab or how the warm up went.
Sure.
How in depth were they with it? How hard did they push themselves? At which point did the issue represent itself? There were a lot of variables that having this new facility really helps with. So
yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't say it's a different service that we offer now, more of an expanded offering on what we used to with other tools that we can plug and play with.
Okay, great. And so you mentioned DEXA, and so it seemed like there was like serial entrepreneurship happening for you.
Yeah.
And then now it's sort of like just a comprehensive space and service. Can you, what interested you in the DEXA and how did that grow into what you have now?
Well, in the NFL, you have a weight that you need to maintain or a body fat percentage that if you exceed, you get fined. And during
really?
The time I was playing, it was $441 per pound overweight you were per weigh-in. So
how frequently would that happen?
Each week you have a mandatory weigh-in. So if you're 3 pounds over, you're looking at about $1,200. And they could also weigh you again the next day.
Oh my goodness.
So being overweight was not something you wanted to do unless you just didn't care. But measuring yourself and how accurately you were getting measured was obviously a big thing.
Crucial.
Or else, because it's costing you money at this point. And my last year in Oakland, we used the BOD pod, but the next year they replaced that with a DEXA scan. And I know the Green Bay Packers use DEXA to measure body composition as well. So, you know, knowing that other teams from the field I was just in are using this, and they're obviously, there's a big reason why. I mean, not only can the DEXA show you how much muscle and fat you have in your arm compared to the other arm, which is key for surgery recoveries, it shows leg to leg. So I like the rehab component with that. It shows how proportionate you are from your top half to your bottom half and where you should be in that regard. And then it also shows your visceral fat level, the deadly fat on the inside of your body, which coming out of the NFL, I figured I'd have very little of. However, I actually had a relatively high amount given my athletic history. So some of those things that it shows are great, but it's accuracy and precision on body fat percentage, muscle tissue weight, fat tissue weight, and overall body weight. Its accuracy is second to none.
Yeah.
And being the gold standard in the field, as you know, I liked that. And since I just noticed those NFL teams, you know, going to it, it was something I wanted to provide. And I know no one around here offers it for body composition analysis, only for bone density analysis. So I wanted to have that tool available for those that really care and want to champion their body.
That's awesome. And so are you still doing that? It was like a mobile service. You were teaming up at other facilities. And is that something you're still providing? Or are you switching gears and having everyone come here at your new,
home? Yeah, it's still mobile. We always got it with the intent to take it mobile. And it's nice to have it mobile. It makes it easy to go to companies and offer it as a corporate wellness service.
It's great.
For people to check in on their health, whichever, or their, you know, monitor their goals, whatever they are. We really do try to have people here more so now than we did in the past because we love our new facility and have a lot more to offer here, whereas before we were just in a little office, so we didn't want to have people come by as much. We want to get out to more people and get our name out there, but we definitely push people to come here more. We have more hours open here than we ever did before, and we've added two other tests that pair well with it.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about those. Can you share a little bit about the RMR and other testing services you're providing?
Yeah, the resting metabolic rate test, the RMR test, is awesome to pair with the DEXA scan because it shows how many calories you burn at rest, and it shows if you have where on the scale you have if you have a faster or slower metabolism. So it actually will place you and let you know, hey, you have a fast or slow metabolism or somewhere in between along a scale. And then it also shows how many calories you probably burn throughout your lifestyle. So if you have a more sedentary job, it'll factor that in as well. But by the time you've done this 15-minute test, you have a good idea, almost exact idea, of how many calories your body's burning per day and then where you need to be in order to lose weight. So if losing weight is one of your primary focuses, or building muscle, you know what threshold of caloric intake you need to be under or above to achieve that goal. Then you can pair that also with a VO2 max test, which breaks down how many calories you burn in four different heart rate training zones. So if you were to spend an hour in each of those training zones, which obviously you wouldn't spend an hour in an intense training zone because it's impossible to maintain that level, that heart rate for a total for 1 hour. But you can pair add that data with the RMR test to get a very precise breakdown on how many calories you're burning with exercise and just throughout the day to know exactly how to achieve your fitness and or nutrition and or body composition goal. It also is quantifying your cardiovascular fitness. If you just want to measure how fit you are cardio-wise, a VO2 max will tell you.
That's great. So what can you expand on the three aspects that of what you provide, the performance, wellness, and rehab? What else can you expand on what that looks like? And
So obviously the rehab, I'll start from back and go forward. Okay. The rehab is the physical therapy side of things, checking the body out, seeing what's going on. Not just, hey, I'm hurt now or I've had surgery now and doing physical therapy. That's obviously the stuff that people think of most, but doing some injury prevention work and doing a movement analysis or gait analysis so that people can see, hey, you have, you know, a hitch in your step one way or you're, you know, shrugging your shoulder one way and that's leading to ankle pain in the opposite foot. A lot of little things that people don't notice or pick up on that over time, especially if you're a runner or an athlete of any kind, it could compile to lead to an injury. So finding things before they develop into an injury or chronic pain.
Yeah, or reoccur.
Yeah, we great. Like that now in the rehab element. In the wellness element are the testing services. We recommend people work with other folks for nutrition, more customized nutrition breakdown or meal delivery. We don't do that in terms of the wellness. We just do the testing side of things. But also just giving people a basic education on here's what people are getting the best results with of the people that come to see us. So it's a smaller sample size than what you would see nationally or some formal study, but generally speaking, we know that when people come in and do multiple DEXA scans, the people that are decreasing their overall sugar intake, decreasing their overall carbohydrate intake, adding in some exercise to their life that has some high intensity elements and weight or resistance elements, those things generally yield body composition changes in a positive manner in 8 to 12 weeks. So that's the extent of our wellness offering. Performance-wise, we offer training for teams to come in and train as a group in our space. We're working with some NFL off-season athletes right now. So we have some higher-end strength training programs available for them. And then kind of blending the rehab with the performance side of things, we have a return-to-sport program that our doctor of physical therapy, J.D. Romick, and myself, both being athletes. She was a national champion softball player and two-time runner-up, so she knows elite athletics from a softball standpoint, and I know them from a football standpoint. So whether it's a male athlete or a female athlete, a water polo player, a track athlete, volleyball player, football, basketball, baseball, wherever you are, going from pain-free to back playing, there's a little bit of a gap. And we want people to feel totally confident when they return. And especially if you got injured while playing, you know you have to come back and do that movement that got you hurt again. And overcoming that is tough. And now that we have this facility that we have to have the turf area and weight area, we can test people out almost to the extent of what they would do in a game. It's hard to simulate the same variability, but we can do a lot of drills now to have athletes feeling totally comfortable, totally confident that they can return and excel, not just be out there and back from injury. We want them to step out and be ready to dominate. So
that's great. And so is that something that you would offer for individuals at this time? Can individuals reach out and see that service?
Yes, so we have some people that have reached out that have maybe done PT elsewhere or they're back in sport and, you know, had an injury previously. Okay. They can enter this program because it's centered around four key elements: strength, endurance, neuromuscular reeducation, and mobility.
Love it.
So we're making sure that your muscles have the requisite strength to support the joints and not get injured.
Yeah.
We're making sure you have the mobility, which is the flexibility, the range of motion to, you know, be as explosive as you can and also, you know, test those joints, ligaments, muscles out so that you don't have, you know, room for injury.
Yeah.
The neuromuscular reeducation, working on balance, proprioception, agility, coordination for the younger athletes that may be going through a growing phase. Yeah. This is very important. I mean, I dealt with that, you know, being a guy that kind of just continued to grow. I never had like one growth spurt going from like 5'10 to 6'6.
Yeah.
It just was like a couple of inches every year, and my feet would grow a little bit more every year. And I was fast and then kind of got, taller and clumsier and just needed to work on the footwork and cone drills and ladder drills and, you know, a lot of things that are overlooked in a strength training program that, you know, are just some smaller, finer movements that we can work with you on there. So if you're in a strength training program, you can pair this with it. If you're not doing anything, this is great because it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of those finer movements. So even some of those sports like soccer and basketball where, you know, being a big, strong person isn't as vital. But foot speed, balance, agility, range of motion are all imperative.
I think that's great. It's such an important window, I think, to be able to return the sport confidently. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really cool offering. So,
So people can go straight from rehab right into that. They can come from other rehabs over into it. Okay. Or they could just be totally fine and training and just want to stay a step ahead and continue to bulletproof their body.
And are you looking to work with other teams at this time or other sport? You have mentioned a lot of different sports, but are you looking for specific, like, is it high school or is what are you?
High school athletes are the majority of this group. There's some collegiate athletes. Mm-hmm. There's some athletes that are, I don't want to call it like intramural-esque, you know, kind of recreational folks that play in adult basketball leagues competitively, frequently, and, you know, this makes sense for them and they don't mind competing in a group dynamic. So it's always a group dynamic and we like having people of all sports come in and compete. It allows athletes to respect one another as competitors in other sports and what makes other sports great. I've seen football players come in and get their butt kicked by girls that are dancers because they're great at some of the things that a football player might not be, and vice versa. So it's a nice little cross collaboration and ways for people to push each other.
That's great.
So I like that dynamic as well.
That's cool. Yeah. How do you think having been an athlete has informed how you conduct business? How do you think that's helped you as a, like an entrepreneur and as a businessman?
I mean, I think it's just crucial in all elements of life that I operate in. I think athletes in general have a higher demand or a higher threshold for high expectations than some folks. I mean, there's definitely people out there that weren't athletes that have high expectations and can handle a high level of criticism, don't get me wrong, but athletes are just used to being slammed in interviews or being booed in booed in an arena or something of that nature. So having gone through all that just helps build the resiliency that entrepreneurship brings. As you know, there's ups and downs, there's learning curves, things go wrong all the time, but all those failures that I had on the field or in the weight room or embarrassing moments of dropping a winning touchdown or missing a tackle or fumbling a ball in front of 80,000 people, like, it makes some of these errors that I may make in business seem like nothing because at least it's not on ESPN or being reported online or being slammed in a chat forum of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, it's not nearly the same level of scrutiny. So that's one big thing to me. I mean, I generally see with athletes, they're hardworking mentality, ability to sacrifice certain things to reach other goals is always great. The dedication, the drive. I mean, there's all those natural things that I think athletes have on other folks.
Interesting. Yeah. So what are you excited about this upcoming year? It's new year, 2019. What do you have lined up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited now that we have all of our offerings in and available and set up. The setup process of our new facility took about 5 months.
Yeah.
You know, and we're still doing stuff to continue to make it better and better. But we're having our grand opening party on March 1st, Friday, 4 to 8 p.m. So we're excited to invite the public out to come in, check us out, and see what we can do to help you champion your body. That's my big highlight, and just continuing to build on what we've got going in here. That Apex Ascent program, the bridge program from physical therapy back to sport, we just launched that. So that's one of my favorite things. And the VO2 Max and RMR testing is new as well. So I'm really excited for these new offerings that we've brought out this year. You know, 4 years ago when we started, it was just PT. Then 2 years after that, we added the DEXA. 2 years after that, we're in this space. And now with RMR, VO2, and the bridge program, So it seems like every 2 years we kind of add a big new offering. The champion package is what we're calling all three tests combined.
So
we've already have some people that have been booking that and coming in. You can get a champion package plus and CRPT with it for 30 minutes and get a analysis from all three test results and what she may see. So those are all things I'm excited about this year and just continue to get out there and into the community.
Awesome.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a tangent, but you're also the author of a book, Stand Tall.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about your book or what inspired that? What motivated you to put pen to paper?
Yeah, I did always like writing throughout my education, which is one tip for all the young athletes that I give them. Find something else that you're interested in other than just your sport, because life in your sport ends at some point. So having something else to go to is always nice. But writing was always something that I liked, and I found it a great way to kind of express myself. So the book idea kind of came from all the ups and downs that I spoke about earlier in terms of surgery, the ups and downs I went through in terms of being a no-star, unrecruited athlete in high school, to getting to college and being a starter from the first day I was there and playing in 48 out of 49 games.
Wow.
I feel like a lot of the things that helped me make that transition were big, and then making the transition from being an undrafted free agent in the NFL to battling my way through making the active roster, starting games in the NFL, and even playing for one season, let alone four. There were a lot of things that I didn't realize weren't normal to some people. So putting some of those key values and traits that, you know, helped me into a book, I thought was great for the young athletes that were aspiring to be something greater, or for the people that were in the world of entrepreneurship or working in a corporate setting and wanted to escalate their standing in a company, or just want to be a better leader of themselves and their family. Either way, I just felt like a lot of the stuff I had to say would help you increase your leadership ability in one way or another.
That's great. I think there's so many life skills that can be applied.
Totally.
You know, from the game, from any game, any sport.
Totally.
And so how are you connected to football now? Now that you're outside of the sport, are you still finding ways to be involved in a game that you grew to love?
Yeah.
After you let go of basketball?
Yeah. I mean, having my dad in being a former coach for 35 plus years, I always just felt like coaching was natural and in my blood. So, you know, he was always wondering, you know, when are you going to coach in college or high school?
And
my local high school was asking me to come back and help out every now and again. But I just, you know, I'm kind of like him in the sense I want to be all the way committed or just not there at all. I don't mind stopping by to give a couple pointers. But now I coach Team Lillard 7-on-7 football. So we work with high school kids from around the Portland, Oregon area, as well as we have some national kids from Florida, Arkansas,
really?
Texas, California that come and join us at some of the tournaments that we go to. But basically it's a platform where we can help kids that didn't necessarily have an opportunity to showcase themselves, especially in a state that isn't heavily recruited, in, like Oregon, to go out and compete against other kids nationally that are considered a five-star or the top recruit in their position, and get a face-off from kids from Florida and learn, you know, who you're competing against to get that Division I scholarship and see, hey, I got a long way to go, or I need to continue to dominate and prove myself, or whatever the situation is. I love taking the kids to these tournaments and just working with them in the practice setting to help develop them and give them lessons that I wish I had when I was their age, and exposure that I wish that I had when I was their age. There's a lot of stuff out there now, and this is a great way for kids to compete, and it's a nice way for me to be able to coach a little bit, but not as much as I would in the high school program. Yeah, not the same level of commitment and demand.
Totally. And how do you like the 7v7?
It's newer. It wasn't around when I was in high school. Yeah. I mean, for someone like myself, I played quarterback and defensive end in high school because my team needed me to play quarterback. But if I had 7-on-7 around, I would have been able to play tight end in the 7-on-7 setting and travel with a team like this and play tight end and show my tight end ability. Whereas coaches in college didn't know for sure that I could play tight end. So it just seemed like some of my attention that I wanted to get as a high school recruit wasn't coming just because they hadn't seen me play a position. So this is a situation that kids have. It happens to kids all the time where you need to play here for the team to have the best chance to win.
Sure.
Whereas you may be better at another position for yourself.
Yeah.
So this is another way for kids to get out and compete, improve their skills in that position. I didn't have a way to get competitive reps like this as a tight end. We just tell other kids from the area to meet at a school's field and just do one-on-ones for an hour and that was all we had before, but there wasn't reporters there, you know, from all these websites that rank kids and all that. There's totally no college coaches there.
It's so different, huh?
Yeah, so this world's still something that's continuing to grow and change, but I really like there's definitely things 7-on-7 breeds can breed bad habits if things aren't coached well, but there's a lot of good that comes from it, too.
That's great. Yeah. Glad that you can be there to provide those insights, too.
For sure.
And how does it feel to be back in Oregon after being away and being in different cities? Yeah. What's the homecoming like?
I like being back. I like helping my home area. Yeah. I don't feel like it's my end place. You know, I don't feel like I need to stay here. I feel like I'm starting something here that can be expanded upon in other areas. And there's a lot of places that I would like to get back to and also work with.
Awesome.
Spend a lot of time in Kansas City. Spend a lot of time in Fort Lauderdale, Miami area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other places that I have yet to spend time in. So I want to get out there and just help more and more people and keep growing what we do here and spread it.
Scale it.
I think that's great.
But actually, another question I was thinking is, this is a lot of local services. Is there anything that, you know, is there any way that people can connect to you if they're not in the area locally at this point, or are there other collaborations that are potentially in other cities? Or I mean, that's
the things that I've done in other cities have only been speaking engagements around anything from the content topics chapters in my book in a leadership, team building, motivational setting. I've done a lot of health and wellness related segments as lunch and learns at companies.
That's
or
great.
As actual, like, you know, 2.5 hour seminars around a certain topic. I did my story from being an NFL player to fat and out of shape and, you know, trying to relate to those that may have gone from college and into a corporate life, started a family and gained a little weight, and, you know, just let them know that, hey, it's all right. You know, there's some easy ways that you can start over and break it down. It was hard for me, so I know it's going to be hard for a lot of people. So something like that is something I've done. So as far as working with other places, it's been a lot of speaking. We're developing some online programs to help with injury prevention, so our athletes could tune in from other areas and say, hey, I need a shoulder injury prevention program for my upcoming football season or baseball season. You know, hey, we have an online portal you can get into and get some exercises. But we're working on that.
Awesome. So that means anyone in the Portland area definitely needs to come through and check it out. Make sure that March 1st is on your calendar for the grand opening. And then it sounds like things are in the works for potential remote work. And then I guess any listeners outside of the city that want you to come speak, you can reach out in that capacity too. So last two questions, Super Bowl's coming up. Do you have a team that you are rooting for or any?
I've always been fascinated by Tom Brady and the Patriots and just their level of consistent dominance.
Yeah.
And mind you, I've played against them 6 times. Being in the AFC East, we played them twice a year and lost all 6 times. And there were definitely times where we were up in those games and seemed like we had the game under control. And then all of a sudden, they just make some plays and there they go.
Yeah.
And, you know, on one hand, you look at it and be like, well, that's football. But now it's been nearly 20 years of that happening for him and that organization. So it's just hard to sit back, whether you like them or not, or like them or not, think they cheat or whatnot. It's just impressive to see someone continuously over and over in a professional level be the one that makes it to the final 4 or 2 left year in and year out. However, I do like a lot of players on the Rams. I like, you know, Ndamukong Suh from this area. I like Aaron Donald. I like watching them play defense. I like Brandon Cooks on offense. I like watching Goff throw the ball. I like watching Gurley and, you know, what he brings to the table at the running back position. And I like seeing a young coach like Sean McVay have some success, and having football back in LA is nice. So I'm looking forward to seeing the game and just, you know, kind of what happens. Not rooting for either. Just want to see a good game like we saw in the 2 conference championship games.
Awesome. That was so PC. That was perfect. And then the last question. So the punchline, Healthy as a Habit, is the podcast title. What is a habit that you, or multiple, that you incorporate, whether it's daily or weekly, that you feel like has really helped you champion your health or your business or relationships or whatever it is?
Okay, so the first one is really simple. I'd have a 24-ounce mason jar by my bed that I'll drink a full glass as soon as I wake up and last thing before going to bed. So I know I'm getting 48 ounces of water in that time period. we tell everyone to stay on top of their hydration.
Totally.
And hydration's a big part of just feeling healthy. I mean, I know when I just am dehydrated, there are a lot of things I experience, not just being at risk for injury, but just health-wise in general.
Yeah.
So hydration's always key for me. My fiance has gotten me on the lemon water,
hot lemon water,
either in the morning or in the evening. I like it in the evening.
Nice.
It's a nice little health thing that I like. Intermittent fasting has kind of been one of my things that helped me lose the weight that I put on after I was done playing. So I've liked to stick to the intermittent fasting window of an 8-hour feast period,
is what
I like to call it.
Nice.
And then also just some daily exercise, daily movement.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's hard for a lot of people to get in and get a full workout like you really want. And I started to realize that as I got older, that sometimes to get a full hour and a half session in is just hard to find that time. So I realized that not every session I get in has to be like I'm training for the NFL. It just needs to be something.
Totally.
So whether it's a mile walk, on a treadmill at an incline, or a light lifting program, or a yoga session, or a spin class. I mean, I've done a lot of different things. Just getting something in and being consistent with activity, I realize is far more beneficial than just doing nothing, being a couch potato, eating whatever.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of negative health habits rolled into one isn't a recipe for success, whereas just doing a couple little simple things over and over, you'll start to see the ball move forward.
Absolutely. That's that compounding effect, for sure.
Totally.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It was a lot of great information about the services you're providing, the journey, the setbacks, and excited that you, it's a lot of work to create the space that you have to offer to athletes right now, and I think that's quite an accomplishment. So, again, March 1st, be sure to stop by Apex Performance Wellness and Rehab, and thank you again for your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining today's episode. To connect more with me, check out my website, drbethanytennant.com, where you can figure out how to schedule with me as a patient. You can find out where I'll be speaking next, or from the doctor's desk, learn more about what I'm cooking in the kitchen or articles that I'm reading. Feel free to reach out on social media at drbethanytennant for Instagram, or at tennantbethany on Twitter. Once again, thank you, and remember to stay healthy as a habit.